Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, the new Boehner budget includes nothing new except more of the same old tax and spend policies that have led us to near national bankruptcy. The only thing keeping us from falling off that cliff is the ability of the Fed to print money. We need a thorough change in the guard in Washington. I mean, the Republicans have betrayed us. What do I mean when I say the Republicans have betrayed us? Well, first, I don't mean every Republican. At least a few stayed true to their promises. I mean, as a party, the GOP simply cannot lead. It seems they do not know how to lead, unless it is their intention to lead us in exactly the same direction that Dems have been dragging us, with the only difference being a different set of deep pocket donors to get the largesse. I admit it. I'm frustrated. So let's get specific. First, Boehner releases a 1,600 plus page budget document in the middle of the night, the day it's supposed to be voted on. I mean, it sounds like Obamacare revisited. Oh, and no one has read it. And who's surprised? So the people you sent to Washington to represent you are at it again, voting on legislation they have not read. No opportunity for public input. And I understand it's the same tactic used for the same reasons. The bill stinks to high heaven with provisions the American people would reject if they had a chance to read it before it was voted on. So you have Boehner following the Pelosi model. For example, I understand our military will not be getting a much needed and anticipated and overdue 3% increase to help them catch up, you know, a little bit of the ground lost to fuel and food prices eating away at their budgets. But Obamacare, that's going to be fully funded. Oh, yeah. And the executive amnesty program will not only be fully funded, but I understand from one article I read, it receives an additional $80 million made available to implement Obama's unaccompanied child program. Raise your hand if you think that the $80 million ought to go to our soldiers. Yeah, I see those hands. In fact, there's a total of $948 million set aside for the Department of Health and Human Services to facilitate this, quote, unaccompanied children program, end quote. Now, raise your hand if you agree that all $948 million ought to go to our soldiers and not to facilitate the King Obama's amnesty decree. And that's not all. Additionally, the DHS, Department of Health and Human Services, gets $14 million to help schools absorbing new immigrant students. Yeah, and it gets worse. Quote, and the State Department would get $260 million to assist Central American countries from where the immigrant children are coming, end quote. So what? That's $1,222 million, which is a cool $1.2 billion plus committed to supporting Obama's executive amnesty program, and they declined providing a 3% pay increase for our military? There's so much smoke coming out of my ears right now, I fear my neighbor's going to call 911 and have the fire department at my front door. Oh, man. But it gets worse. Quote, congressional liberals rebelled Wednesday against a must-pass spending bill that would keep the government open past midnight Thursday, complaining that it would roll back critical limits on Wall Street and sharply increase the influence of wealthy campaign donors, end quote. So the Democrats are opposed to it because they're concerned about them undoing a pillar of the Dodd-Frank financial regulatory overhaul. That was, by the way, the darling of the Obama administration. And this will allow banks to traffic in derivatives so as not to have our eyes to gloss over. I'll summarize what is a derivative. Basically, it allows banks to lower their risk exposure by selling off some of their risk in their loans portfolios to other banks or other financial institutions, and that probably didn't help a whole lot. But I don't have time to explain it. Basically, it frees up more of their dollars to be invested in other loans and so on. And some believe that this practice contributed to the housing bust a while back. Anyway, the point is that many believe the Frank Dodd financial regulatory bill, quote, ranks as among the administration's biggest domestic achievements, end quote. And there's a point I'm going to make with this. And the point is that the Boehner budget removes one of the pillars of that bill. And the point is that compromises something Obama considered to be a major achievement by him. And the point is that Obama supports the Boehner budget. And the point is that this suggests Obama and Boehner got together and struck a deal. You know, give me derivatives and I'll give you Obamacare and amnesty. What is going on? Palin issued a warning coming into this that was not heeded. Quote, When you cut through all the inside baseball stuff in this omnibus spending bill that's in front of Congress, you're left with two cold hard facts. This bill doesn't defund Obama's amnesty, so he gets to reward lawbreakers with your tax dollars, and it adds to our dangerous, unsustainable debt. It also breaks campaign promises made by quite a few of our incumbent politicians on both sides of the aisle. End quote, yada yada. Here it is. Quote, guess what, GOP? Our victory party is over and voters are wide awake and trusting you to keep your promises to America. Get a handle on your debt, stop Obama's amnesty to illegal aliens, support our military. Bottom line, we elected you to stop Obama's fundamental transformation of America. Do it, especially you Republicans who promise to do it, or face America's wrath next go round because an elephant never forgets, end quote. So that's pretty good rhetoric. Anyway, it's already happening. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise, a Louisiana Republican, is in serious political jeopardy for backing Boehner's promise-busting spending bill. Here's an example of exactly the kind of compromise that is killing our republic. Boehner wants to provide some relief to the banks. Actually, you could rightly say to Wall Street, or a certain side of it. And the argument about whether this relief is justifiable is for another time. I can see some value in allowing the banks to traffic in derivatives in the interest of free markets and other considerations, so long as, of course, there are provisions in law adequate to protect the consumer. But the problem is that in order to get this, Boehner, it seems obvious, had to give Obama, well, how about everything? I mean, he had to give Obama full funding for his amnesty decree. He had to give Obama full funding for Obamacare. He even threw in an extra $80 million for the unaccompanied illegal alien child program. It's bad, folks. This is an example of compromise that kills the baby. Look, the fact is, Boehner never supported us on the amnesty issue anyway. Are you understanding this? He never supported us on the Obamacare issue in the first place. In other words, these Republican aristos are gophers. You know, like a gopher crawls around in the dirt feeding on the roots of grass and plants and killing them? These Republicans crawl around in the dirt with the Democrats and feed themselves on the votes of grassroots Americans. And it's killing us. What happens to plants and grass when the gophers keep feeding on them? Well, they die. These gophers are killing America. Certainly conservative America. Okay, let's see here. Oh, yes. The Gruber Grub Feast. Or Fest. I'm intrigued by all this. Here you have the architect of Obamacare. Caught on camera, quote, bragging about the deception used in engineering Obamacare in order to circumvent the challenges presented by the stupidity of the American voter, end quote. Wow. You know, I've looked at this thing, and I wondered why it doesn't really grab my attention. And I wonder, why is Congress spending so much time going after Gruber? Now, go get him. I mean, he's a jerk. Fine. But what's that all about, rather than addressing the more fundamental problems, which involves questions like, how is it that this legislation nightmare became law in the first place? All kinds of bad things were done to make this thing law. And then in the second place, defunding Obamacare entirely. I'm digging around this and realized why it never grabbed my attention. It's because I'm suspicious that this is something thrown out there for the grubbers. It's a play on words here. You know, the word grub means to eat. And it looks to me that Gruber is mere media grub to feed the hunger on the right for Obamacare to be overturned, but doesn't do anything actually to defund or otherwise repeal Obamacare. So I'm trying to figure out what they're going for. I mean, go for it. Eat the Gruber. But what is the point? To embarrass Obama? So far as I can tell, all we get from this grubbing is further evidence of what we already know. And my point is, that's fine. And I do find it revealing and interesting insight into what we already knew. But I want Congress to focus on taking substantive steps toward ending Obamacare and not extending endlessly this feeding frenzy. I guess I'm saying I see this Gruber grubbing to be a possible chumming of the waters to gather the tuna to the sharks. Watch out. All right. I promised I would weigh in on Feinstein's so-called torture report. The timing of the release of this document strikes me as peculiar. The White House just took a drumming in the midterm, and Obama's political cred has sunk to new lows. Suddenly, the left starts poking at the cooled coals of the old political fire they used to burn Bush, which is enhanced interrogations, extreme rendition, indefinite detention, and so on. You know, all the brouhaha that the left used to crucify Bush, and that Obama, by the way, used to garner support for his candidacy. Or in other words, if you've been paying attention, Obama has consistently used the popularity of hating Bush to bolster his own. In fact, It's safe to say Obama was able to use the left's hatred of Bush, and so much of the right's fear of the left's control of the media, to keep the eyes of the American voter away from all of the hundreds of reasons no one should have ever voted for Obama to be president. You know, by throwing the blame for everything negative in his presidency onto Bush. Well, anyway, Obama's down in the polls, and what does he do to reclaim his popularity, or at least to shore up his base? Bush bashing. Whenever Obama slips in popularity, he finally gets around to Bush bashing. Well, Obama faced his greatest plummet in popularity yet leading into and out of the midterm elections. Even worse than after he, Reid, and Pelosi, the unholy trinity, rammed Obamacare into law. And it seems he chose this as the time to release the so-called torture report that he had received several months ago. That's just interesting to me. The Dems went all out to save Mary Landrieu in Louisiana. I mean, they poured in millions and went all out, no doubt hoping to stop the avalanche of public support away from the Dems, and they failed. They're in serious trouble. Looks to me that they're absolutely desperate to find some way to stop the ground that's being ripped out from under their feet, and that's the only reason I can think of for Obama releasing this so-called torture report and the media giving it all the attention that it's getting. Well, it's just something else they're trying to divert our attention from in their sleight-of-hand politics. Anyway, it's out there, and I've read through it. That is the summary released by Feinstein, and it's, well, you know, if it were not for the poison that's rife throughout this political propaganda piece, I would throw this into my two large growth boxes as fertilizer. When I get back, let's roll up our sleeves, put on our nose plugs and muck-walking boots, and wade into this sleazy bit of political hackery, and ha! Mixing the metaphors again, but with good effect, when I get back, I'll dissect the deceit of the dim so-called torture report. Hold on.
Folks, I can see right now that my second segment is going to run a little long, so we're going to roll on through the break.
Stand
and
by.
Continue.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Feinstein's torture report was submitted to the White House all of 8 months ago, April 3rd, 2014, in plenty of time to be used for the midterm elections. But the fact is, nothing of any real substance was found usable in the report. After reading the heavily redacted 600-page summary, 550 pages after redactions, it became very clear to me it was hastily prepared. The typos are more frequent than usual in government papers like this, and the level of language is clearly representative of what you would expect, I think, from an MIT doctor who was in a hurry. The sloppiness of the report belies the seriousness of its subject, and Obama's team has had it for 8 months. And if what I read is the best they can come up with from the extended 6,000 pages prepared by the committee, well, Cheney, Bush, and company have very little to fear from any legal action taken against them that's based on this document. I mean, that is so long as those acting against them actually depend on the testimony provided in this report. Political lynching, as we know, however, is rarely motivated or based on anything like facts or law. So let's examine the document, shall we? First of all, it's not a torture report. The title is Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, Committee Study of the CIA's Detention and Interrogation Program, Findings and Conclusion. If you're a silver or gold ambassador, you're going to receive it with your monthly package for December when that gets sent out. If you want it sooner, you can call and we'll have it sent to you right away, or you can just Google torture report and you'll find it. And that's the first issue of concern to me. It's not a torture report. It is a report that argues for the conclusion that enhanced interrogation techniques used by the CIA against known terrorists met the criteria for torture. And we're going to examine that argument in a moment. For the present, understand that proof that this is a political document is immediately apparent by how it is presented to the public. It's presented as a torture report, which assumes the premise. Actually, when the report is examined, I think it proves to a reasonable mind that the enhanced interrogation techniques employed fell short of torture. When you think of torture to get information, I mean, you're likely thinking of Jack Bauer, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, cutting off thumbs and stuff like that, or other digits, torching eyeballs, or driving knives into thighs, or driving nails through hands. I mean, that's torture. Disfigurement, permanent damage. This report finds none of that kind of treatment was ever used to gain information from terrorists who had no compunctions about murdering innocent people. So, first off, the definition of torture, my friend, is not something everyone agrees to. I mean, I assume everyone would agree that Jack Bauer employs torture on his popular 24 series.
But what the CIA did with the terrorists certainly did not rise to that level by anyone's estimation. When I describe some of the techniques used, well, you could call and let me know if you think it should be considered torture. But the point at present is that this is an opinion piece. And the opinion that it was torture is inferred from the report. It's inferred by Feinstein on page 3. And those who prepared the report, there's no doubt in my mind. They gleaned through the 6 million bits and pieces of information that they got from the CIA in order to make that case. And they failed to make it, by the way, which should tell you something. Second, and this extends the last observation I've made, they allegedly worked through 6 million pages of CIA material, look at page 5 of the report, to compile this thing, and yet they never once consulted those persons who are identified in the documents or who were key players in the events described in them. Feinstein admits this and dismisses it as irrelevant, saying, quote, while the committee did not interview CIA officials in the context of the committee study, it had access to and drew from the interviews of numerous CIA officials, end quote. Or in other words, you know, the people whose character is impugned by this report were never allowed to answer for themselves and to give their side of events. Yet this document is cited as proof that what they did was torture, alleging that what they did was a violation of human rights and so forth. It would be one thing if they were not available, as when attempting to write an historical account from available documents, but the people involved in this were available, and they should have been interviewed. Third, in terms of general observations, the premise of the report, repeated ad nauseum, by the way, and that is, and really, this point is made so many times, it becomes really obvious. It is the theme of the document. And the onerous repetition of this theme makes it evident that this is not a scientific document or even a legal or technical document. It's a hit piece, contrived for one purpose, to make political statements, a protest against those who led the response of this country to the terrorist attack of 9/11. It's an effort to rewrite that history and really to divert attention from things Obama's doing and to undermine our response to that brutal attack on our countrymen. I mean, it's just as if a Muslim jihad sympathizing Democrat sat down to write this report on our treatment of his fellow jihadists. It really is. And so ad nauseum, I mean to the point, it gendered nausea. Now, the premise I speak of is simple enough for the simple-minded to grasp and to run with it without giving in anything like real thought. Premise of this document is that while CIA operatives engaging in the implementation of what's called enhanced interrogation techniques were aware that these techniques were ineffective. Nevertheless, they lied to their superiors on purpose so they could go on using these techniques. Think about that. You know, therefore, the people who employed these techniques simply enjoyed torturing people and the way they look at torture, and they wanted to continue doing it even though they knew it had nothing to do with gaining actionable intelligence. That's absurd. Essentially, that's the argument of the document. Meanwhile, the higher-ups were getting misinformation and led to believe that they were actually gaining helpful intelligence from enhanced interrogation techniques. So, this lets people off the hook, like Feinstein and others, but not Bush so much, or Cheney, as the report attempts to suggest that these people had access to the truth about the ineffectiveness of enhanced interrogation techniques, but purposely ignored it in order to continue using it. And friends, that's about it. I mean, you have to believe that Bush and Cheney and so on and certain others, essentially Republican, by the way, essentially conservative Republicans, by the way, did not really care about getting the bad guys and stopping terrorist attacks, that what they really wanted to do is torture people. The purpose of the document is made clear on page 6, and that is that, quote, coercive interrogation practices are not used by our government again, end quote. Now, who do you suppose that benefits? All right? I mean, it's like those stupid rules of engagement that tie our soldiers' hands behind their backs, giving the enemy every possible advantage over our soldiers, consistently preferring the interests of the enemy over our own. And now, it's like a Muslim jihadist is writing our policy here to ensure they need not worry about those captured terrorists being compelled to divulge intel under, quote, coercion, end quote. All right, now for some particulars. Let's examine what this report sets forth as proofs supporting the premise. And in that, I bring your attention to the weakness of their arguments, something that is more interesting in the light of the fact that this is written by an FBI analyst, an MIT professor, no less, with a PhD, I think, at least a doctorate. I mean, this guy's got to know that the arguments he presents in this summary are weak indeed. And in a summary, you'd want to pull the very best arguments you had from the body of the document you're summarizing. And so out of the 6,000 pages, what he presents here is the best they can come up with? I mean, it's a bunch of blah, blah, blah. For example, he says, quote, for example, According to CIA records, 7 of the 39 CIA detainees known to have been subjected to CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques produced no intelligence while in CIA custody, end quote. Now, I've got to assume Dr. Jones knows what is obvious to anyone familiar with things like common sense or logic, that to say that out of 39 efforts, if we missed 7 times, this proves the entire process is ineffective. Good night. 80% plus success rate? That's pretty good. Well, and then he goes on, quote, CIA detainees usually subjected to enhanced interrogation techniques immediately after being rendered to CIA custody. That's on page 8. Now, the practice was they were given a psych evaluation, which would be followed with recommendations of what process would most likely yield the desired results. And the argument here is that CIA claim these terrorists were approached with milder forms of interrogation first, and then, if they proved uncooperative, they would accelerate to the more extreme methods, which we'll look at in a moment. And you'll see we're not talking Jack Bauer here. But the point is that the argument is weak, since even if they were not 100% consistent with the policy, that does not mean the use of enhanced techniques was ineffective. Now, see, I hope you're getting the point here. You get 6,000 pages of so-called evidence supporting their point. They're going to excerpt the very best of that entire document to summarize for us, and this is the best they've got? I mean, this is a tell, if you will, that they don't have any argument. If they have to blow 6,000 pages of smoke like this to make their case, they don't have one. Obviously, after scouring 6 million pages of CIA material, this is the best they can come up with. All right, you get my point. A success rate of a mere 82% and the failure of the interrogators to follow policy 100% of the time does not provide an argument proving either that the procedure they were employing was ineffective or that it constituted torture. And here's the concluding sentence, which should deliver the coup de grace of his argument, right? Quote, other detainees provided significant accurate intelligence prior to or without having been subjected to these techniques, end quote. And your point is what exactly is your point? You know, except that you don't have one. You understand? Now, I'm using this as an example of what runs true throughout the entire document. No argument to the point. The fact that some detainees provided information without enhanced interrogation does not prove that enhanced interrogation doesn't work in cases where it's needed. Anyway. Likewise, the fact that some of these guys lied under interrogation, that doesn't prove the method's ineffective. Listen, it's certain that an enemy combatant may be expected to lie to fabricate artificial intelligence, and reason compels us to, I mean, with or without enhanced interrogation, you understand? And reason compels us to assume if there are no perceived consequences to lying, well, then they would do it more freely. As usual, progs, liberals, what have you, expect us to divorce our reason from all experience of human nature. They expect us to separate our logic from common sense. An enemy sees no compelling consequence to lying in order to misguide his enemy from discovering his secrets or protecting his fellow combatants or the mission on which he's sent. Well, then, I mean, this is so frustrating. Do we expect that someone might give false information in order to stop someone from brutally interrogating them? Well, yeah, and that's where we're going to go next. When we look at what these guys call brutal, extreme, and inhuman torture, you're going to laugh. It's designed to break down a man's resistance. But my friend, it's a far cry from the sort of bizarre extremes you're led to imagine by the word torture. But even so, my friend, someone could be motivated to give false information to his enemy in order to get a Coca-Cola, all right? Or some other favor. Especially if he thinks that the worst that will happen when the false information is discovered is that he won't get another Coca-Cola. I mean, think about it. I mean, these are people we're interrogating who have no compunction about wrapping children in explosives and sending them onto buses to kill innocent men, women, and children. Don't forget that. Then there's a whole litany of argument that runs along the lines that, in the opinion of this one, EIT did not produce actionable intel that resulted in thwarting a terrorist attempt. However, we note that the people who said EIT was effective are not heard from. It's all one-sided. You see, my friend, what you have to do is believe that Bush, Cheney, and the rest of them simply wanted to torture people, and so they made up these stories about EIT intel leading to the thwarting of this or that terrorist attack. It's absolutely absurd. The only people this serves are the same people Obama's policies consistently serve that he has served throughout his presidency, the Muslim Brotherhood and jihadists everywhere. There's so much more, but I'm running short on my time. I think you can see what I mean when I say the document is very weak in its argument, which betrays something very fundamental in this whole debate. And that is, they really don't have any concrete argument to prove, beyond any reasonable doubt, either that Bush, Cheney, et al. Purposely attempted to lie to the American people about EIT, or that EIT was or is completely ineffective at getting information, or that it actually constitutes torture. Let's look at what this crowd says passes for torture, for example, in argument number 3. The report claims that the interrogations were, quote, brutal and far worse than the CIA represented to policymakers and others, end quote. So the first example they provide is Abu Zubaydah. That's one of the first big fish in Osama's inner circle to be caught post 9/11. He was trained in terrorist camps in the use of explosives, according to his own diary. I don't go into all this, but Zubi was a bad guy. Anyway, here's what passes for torture, and I'll have to pick this up and develop it further from a biblical perspective on Sunday night because I won't have time right now. But first, repeated enhanced interrogation techniques for days or weeks at a time. Whoa. Stuff like, you know, are you ready? Slaps. Being thrown into a wall. Yeah, I'm not kidding. This is what they call torture. I got that in boot camp, for heaven's sake. Sleep deprivation. Forced nudity. Well, there you go. Torture, right? Then there's waterboarding. Now, first question that I have for anyone who brings up waterboarding as a torturous device is this. Has anyone ever died from waterboarding? And I can't find that anyone has. Anyway, our own special forces are trained to endure waterboarding. It's bad news, to be sure. Those experiencing it say they, for the world, believe they're being drowned. Sleep deprivation, loud noise. Oh, here's one. Quote, at least 5 CIA detainees were subjected to rectal rehydration or rectal feeding without documented medical necessity, end quote. Now, look, I don't want to laugh at this. It's not funny, and I wouldn't want that done to me. But the point is, that's a medical procedure that's used safely, but I think we would all agree, very uncomfortably. I mean, hey, anyone has their hand raised for colonoscopy? Crummy, uncomfortable, even painful perhaps, but not torture, you wimps. There you go, ice water baths. Okay, you begin to see what I mean? We're not talking Jack Bauer here. Here's another. Now brace yourselves, folks. Quote, the CIA led several detainees to believe they would never be allowed to leave CIA custody alive, suggesting to one detainee that he will only leave in a coffin-shaped box, end quote. This is the kind of stuff these numbskulls pass off as torture. This is what they're putting under the word torture, and that's what you need to understand. At least 3 detainees were threatened with harm to their families, even harm to their children. Now the question is, did any harm ever come to their families or children? No, of course not. But we made them feel bad. You see what I mean? Folks, this is not torture. All right, shackled in isolated cells in complete darkness with loud noise or loud music with only a bucket to use for waste. You know, if you ask me, that sounds like a pretty good way to handle a guy like Charles Manson. Okay? Instead of feeding that jerk 3 squares a day and providing color TV and a nice soft bed for him to sleep in, I think Charles Manson ought to live out his life in a cell of complete darkness with loud noise and music and only a bucket to use for waste. Sometimes these terrorists were walked around naked. Oh no! I wouldn't like that. You wouldn't like that. These are terrorists, all right? They're being interrogated. And some, not all mind you, but some of these terrorist detainees suffered psychological issues and even tried to kill themselves sometimes, right? Like, that's the reason we take belts away from those thrown into prison? You got to put this in context and understand we're talking about terrorists. I mean, the point is, this is not torture. And I'm out of time here, but I've read through the whole thing. No honest person could build a case against Bush, Cheney, or anyone else other than the few reports of individuals who did go too far, and there are some. But a relatively few individuals who cross the line does not prove the entire program wrong any more than having one really, really bad, I mean awful, president proves that the presidency is a bad idea. Anyway, folks, there's no Jack Bauer here. But I think many of us would agree that perhaps one is needed from time to time. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you see that they are on, and we'll ride like Revere and spread the warning. Really appreciate your calls. They're helpful to me and they mean something to me, and I thank you when you do call. Appreciate it. In fact, I've got a couple of calls I'm going to air on the next show or so. I just ran out of time today and couldn't do it. Call 1-888-770-8000 and leave a message on our listener response hotline for me. A free call to anyone within the continental United States, from outside the country or for those who prefer it. You can email me by going to our web address at thebrainmassageshow.com. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.